Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at golo.com. That's golo.com. Again, golo.com.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this sixth day of September 2023. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. So we're going to get right into it. Tonight we have, of course, out there in the glass cage on the dials, my producer is none other than Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
Hey, Kyle. And we have with us tonight Pastor Hal Larson. Hey, Hal. Hey, Hal. Is Hal there? Where's he at? Hal, did you fall asleep again? Hey, Hal. Well, he's supposed to be with us here. He might have fallen asleep. He does that at times. But I don't think he would tonight because he wanted to be on with me. We're talking about one of his favorite subjects, the King James Bible. But here's the thing. Pastor Joe Larson is not here because Joe is under the weather again. And I had a strange kind of an experience today, scary experience. Where it really, I stepped outside and my son lives next door. And him and his family, and I looked over there and I seen red lights flashing. I saw two police cars, a big ambulance, and several fire station cars. So I ran over there right away to find out what was going on. It was no an emergency. It was just my son had stepped out of his car and passed out and hit the ground. And probably had to do with the fact he hadn't eaten anything, I think, all day. And the heat. It was pretty hot out there today. Not as bad as it was yesterday by any means, but it was hot. And so he seemed to be okay. So with that, are you there yet, Hal? Huh. I wonder what's going on somewhere.
Okay. This phone muted out all by itself.
Oh, okay. I'll have to teach you how to operate one of those things.
That has a mind of its own, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You've seen what's happened to my phone, okay? Well, we're talking about my phone was sitting in my office on Sunday morning service. It was sitting on my desk in my office. And then during the service, phones of the people in the church start ringing, and I'm looking at them. And they've got a strange look on their face. They're looking at their cell phones, and then they're looking at me with a puzzled look because I'm in the pulpit preaching. My phone had called people on its own. It called right during the service. And so, and then other strange things happened. Remember the funeral home incidents going to death row?
Yeah, we was on our way down to death row to see an execution, and a funeral home called you all by itself, and we never had any contact with it before.
Well, no, yeah, no, they, my phone called the funeral home.
Okay,
and it,
yeah.
Then it happened several times after that. Once we got to a certain area going past Mansfield, down past Mansfield, my phone would automatically dial this funeral home. We got to know each other pretty well, okay? it was strange, okay? But anyhow, we better get into the message tonight. But before we do that, let's pray for Pastor Joe and for my son. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, Lord God, and folks out there, join us, would you? Also, I want to hold up Nurse Eileen on that, too. Nurse Elaine. Nurse Elaine has been very ill, too. So let's hold all three of them up. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold all three of them. Nurse Elaine, Matt, and Pastor Joe, and just ask Father God, Lord, that you would touch them all, Lord, and bless them in every area where they could be blessed, Father God, and then use them to the utmost, to the very utmost, until the day you take them out of here. And Lord, until then, turn their desires towards you more every day and every way in all things, completely and totally, that they may be used of you and place up crowns in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, the title of the message, Hal, you remember what the title was? No, that was last week's message. It was the written word of God. The written word of God. Infallible written word of God. And so, we're going to pick it up tonight in 2 Peter chapter 1. So, would you read verses 19 through 21?
Okay, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
And so here, so Peter's talking here, Hal, and he was just giving a testimony of the things that he's seen, his experience being with the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that he saw, everything that he experienced being with the Lord Jesus, everything that happened. And then after he's telling you about that, that he saw that, he was an eyewitness of his majesty and his power, then he says, but we have even a more sure word. In other words, he's saying that God's word right here, the written word of the word, is even more sure than everything that he personally experienced with the Lord Jesus right there. That here, that this word is moved by the Holy Spirit, and it's moved of God. And therefore, even things that we know and feel and experience are not as sure as this word. And then he says here that knowing this first, that prophecy of the Scripture is of no private interpretation. Why would he say that it's of no private interpretation?
Just to make it clear that it came from the very mind and breath of God himself. It wasn't somebody just sitting around thinking things up.
Okay, so in other words, the 54 men that wrote the King James Bible, they didn't write down their opinions, did they?
No, they sure didn't.
So they wrote what they wrote, what was, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved them.
That's and, right.
And so we don't have their opinion. We have God's opinion, don't we?
That's right. That's why it's infallible. Nobody's ever been able to find one contradiction or one thing wrong with the Scripture, because it was written by God through these men.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so here, well, I'm going to tell you that There's nothing more sure than the Word of God, is there?
No, that's why I like Hebrews 4:12, where it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That means the Word of God, when you're reading it, it's reading you.
Absolutely. And so when it talks about the soul and the spirit, to discern between the two, most of you, yes, probably 99% of the people don't really understand what the soul and the spirit is, do they?
No.
And so now we're going to take a look at how that's what God's Word says compared to, and we know that, and we've been talking about the King James Bible being the Bible. They've got over 200 right now. In fact, it's even more than that. It's up to almost 400 perversions of the Bible in the English language, and which is really an amazing thing. Everybody's got their own Bible. I think even the trade unions have got their own Bible. Everybody's got one. You know, the out there, the feminists have one, the homosexuals have one, the transgenders have theirs. In fact, when it was in Toledo, Ohio, some years ago, when John McTernan, myself, and Pastor Owens, Luke Owens, went to Toledo to speak at a pro-life event. They asked me to come down there and speak because the city had taken over an abortion mill by eminent domain because they wanted to build a stadium rather. So I went there, and in this abortion mill, it was like three stories high. It was huge, and it was run by a group of witches, and I mean real witches. And when we went into as we got there, the doors were open. They were moving out, and there was a ramp going up, and the doors were open. So we walked in there, and they had this long table after table after table, like we have at the church there in the fellowship hall. And on that, Hal, they had, at every station, they had lesbian pornography. They had candles, brown candles, white candles, orange candles. Okay, then they had like herbs. They had like grains of wheat and different herbs. And guess what? Every station they had an NIV Bible open to the same page. Every one. There must have been at least 20 going down. These witches there. They were having their meetings, and they were actually using these witches, the NIV Bible. It's an amazing thing.
The NIV Bible, one of the head revisionists of that thing was a self-professed lesbian, and they took out about 65,000 words out of that Bible that changed it from the King James.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, it was 64,000, yeah, but you're right. But, you know, the King James, again, you know, we've talked about, and I've already said this twice today, but I think we should do it again. The Purified seven times, when we talk about Psalms 12, 6 through 8, where it talks about God's Word being purified seven times and preserved. God said he would purify his Word seven times, and he said he would preserve it. Can God do what he says he'll do?
He sure can.
I mean, do you have any doubts that he can't see? Well, it seems like to me that there's a whole lot of people out there, pastors, that kind of doubt that God can do what he says he'll do.
Well, there's a whole bunch of pastors out there that aren't even saved.
The majority of them today, huh?
Right. Bunch of wolves in sheep's clothing.
Well, here today, this is where we're going to take a look at it. In 1384, John Wycliffe translates the whole Bible into English for the first time in history, and the church repays him by condemning him as a heretic. John Wycliffe paid a horrible price, didn't he?
Yeah, he had to be on the run all his life. You know, they try to, kill him and everything else like that. But the funny thing is, after years of them trying to kill him and everything, he turned around and died of a heart attack anyway. And they were so mad that centuries after he died, a bunch of monks led a group to the cemetery where his bones were buried, and they dug him up and burned his bones.
Yeah,
because he was trying to translate the Bible into the language of the people.
Yep, that's a desecration. And then in 1536, William Tyndale was burned as a heretic for his Bible translation work, the first printed English scriptures. The very first printed English scriptures. He printed some in German, too, didn't he?
Well, what he did, he got a way to get over to see Martin Luther, and he told Martin Luther that he wanted to do for the people of England what Martin Luther did for Germany, and that was getting the Bible in the language of the people. And Martin Luther helped him out, got him to a pretty impressed place, and where Tyndale could finish doing his New Testament in the in English and everything. So that was really something. I never realized, so I did some research on it, that Tyndale actually got to meet Martin Luther in person.
Well, in 1537, Miles Coverdale's Bible translation published with the King's Most Gracious License. So this is the third purification. You had the first one in 1384, the second one in 1536. This is the third one in 1537. Miles Coverdale's Bible translation published with the King's Most Gracious License. Later, during Bloody Mary's reign, he was hunted for his life and forced to flee from England. And then in 1539, the fourth purification, Coverdale's Great Bible, was chained to the pulpits in order of King Henry's the Eighth. Christians were executed for even reading the Bible without a license. And then the fifth purification was in 1555 when John Rogers was burned to death for publishing the Matthew's Bible and became the first victim of Bloody Mary, the Queen of England. And
you
then
know,
in the
Bloody Mary had women and children murdered and burned at the stake and tortured just for memorizing any part of Scripture or memorizing the Ten Commandments in English, anything like that. She'd have them. There was a Pope Bonner, I mean a bishop by the name of Bonner. They called him Bishop Bonner. That he would love to burn people at the stake for doing any memorization or translation into English of even the simple scriptures.
Yeah, people ought to know, too. You see, in those days, you didn't become a bishop by being, you know, raised up and set out by God. You know, you bought that. You would buy that office of a bishopric, which they referred to bishops, and they weren't bishops. They were apostates, okay? But you could go out and buy one. And then in 1560, Queen Mary commands all heretics to return to Romanism or face the consequences. Many flee to Geneva, and the exiled church leaders produced the Geneva Bible. This was the sixth purification. And then in 1611, the seventh major English translation of the scriptures, the King James Bible, is published and adopted as the authorized version, authorized by the people of God as the Word of God for the English-speaking world, purified seven times. And that was the seventh purification, just like it said out of Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Now, let's take a look at some of the differences between the Word of God, the King James Bible, and the New Age translations. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 7, and read me verse 14.
Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Okay, now, that word virgin is Alma. It's Alma in the Hebrew there. And so, and of course, Emmanuel means God with us. The New Age versions of that changed it. Just about all of the New Age versions, the NIV, the ASV, all of them, they changed it from virgin to young woman, even though every place that that word in the Hebrew is used in the Bible, it means a virgin. It doesn't mean a young woman. So if you were to go into some of these colleges today, these universities, you'd find a lot of young women, but you wouldn't find many virgins, would you?
No, that's for sure.
And so they've changed that, and they've taken away. So why is that so important?
Well, because, you know, Jesus was virgin born, and it's, you know, he didn't have an earthly father. His father was God himself. And so that makes it all important, because Jesus in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and the very blood of God himself was going through Jesus Christ's veins, and only the blood of Christ, only the blood of God himself could wash away our sins. And if he had had an earthly father, he wouldn't be able to wash away our sins, and we'd be of all men most miserable.
So basically what it did is it tried to take away the miraculous act of God and denying the deity of Christ, huh?
Very true, yeah.
Let's turn to Isaiah 14 and read me verse 12.
Okay, Isaiah 14, have it in a second here. Okay, Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?"
Okay, so here it's referring to Lucifer as son of the morning. Now, you just read out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. It referred to the day star rising in your heart. Who is the day star?
That's Jesus Christ.
Okay. So here, in the New Age versions, they have changed this from "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer," to "the day star," or some as "the bright and morning star." In other words, they've replaced Lucifer in this verse with Jesus, didn't they?
Right.
We see that over also in Revelation 22:18, huh?
Yeah.
So, this is an amazing thing. I'd say that's blasphemy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
But the New Age translators, they don't care anything about that. They just want to make money on their false versions of the Bible.
Let's turn to 1 Timothy 3. And in 1 Timothy 3, read me verse 16.
All right. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed up in the believed on in the world, and received up in the glory."
Okay, so when he says, "without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Now, is that a mystery to you or me, or is he referring it's a mystery to those that don't understand the Word of God, that are not biblically literate?
Right. It's a mystery to those that don't understand the Word of God, because for those that know the Word of God, it's easy to understand. Jesus was God. It says that all through the Scripture.
So it goes on to say here, "without controversy, great was the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Okay, so here we know that he tells us that the Word was made flesh, right? John 1:14.
Right.
Okay, so here the New Age versions, they kind of changed that. You know, it says God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory. But they changed that. They changed that from God was manifest in the flesh. They changed that to he. They took it. They changed the word from God to he. Appeared in a body. Have you ever known anyone else that appeared in a body?
Everybody in the human race has appeared in a body.
So they changed it from God was manifest into the flesh. They took out the word God. And they exchanged it for he was manifest in a body. Kind of, you know, and this one verse here, more than any other verse in the Bible, really talks about the deity of Christ, huh?
Right. And you know, Pastor, I like John chapter 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So right there it's telling you God was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Absolutely. We're going to go to a break right now. We're going to listen to, well, some of us are being targeted out there today, and I've got an article on that. And in this article that we're about to read, it mentions a very good friend of mine, a former friend of mine, who went home to be with the Lord because he was murdered. And that was Ted Gunderson, who was a former head FBI agent for the whole Southwest. And Ted had told me He had come and spent a time here with us here, and he had told me when we talked about communism and that, and he said, Pastor, our biggest concern are rogue agents within the CIA and the FBI. He says, they literally have a contract on me. If you believe in God and you're a patriot, and that was back then. I think that was back about 2011, he told me that. But anyhow, we're going to hear, we're going to take a listen to this, and it's referred to as, it's the Gary Reese report on targeted individuals. So go ahead and take her away.
After 9/11 and the birth of Homeland Security, fusion centers were set up to monitor U.S. citizens, and the U.S. Department of Justice legalized non-consensual experiments on the public. These fusion centers employ civilians to target individuals and harass them, intimidate them, vandalize their property, and interfere with their day-to-day life. This is known as gang stalking. Former high-ranking FBI agent Ted Gunderson reported in 2011 that himself and thousands of others were being targeted. FBI agent Mike German confirmed this as well. Several federal agents have reported that they were targeting individual Americans, including people who were simply pro-life, and that they were pressured to put more people on their targeting lists to legitimize more federal funding. These Homeland Security fusion centers are able to put any American citizen on the terrorist watch list without any reason or due process. In 2012, NSA whistleblower William Binney reported that the feds are conducting comprehensive surveillance on nearly every U.S. citizen and targeting whomever they please. In 2014, Glenn Greenwald exposed the methods used to target individuals, such as hacking into people's social media accounts, posing as that person, and contacting their friends and coworkers. TargetedJustice.com is currently working on suing the federal government for targeting individual U.S. citizens with different high-tech weapons, including directed energy weapons. The Havana Syndrome, when diplomats in Cuba were attacked with directed energy weapons, was not an isolated event. There are thousands of individuals who claim to be under this same sort of attack, and they have the scars to prove it. As far back as 1976, the technology to remotely alter brainwaves has existed, including voice-to-skull technology that allows the government to directly transmit voices into people's brains. As bad as all this is, it is likely to get much worse. In 2017, Dr. James Giordano gave a lecture on the latest government technologies to target individuals, such as neuroweapons to control brain function and modify memories.
I'm looking to target key individuals who may then be influential to relative aspects of their representative groups. I can affect individuals' brain functions in a variety of different ways, both positively and negatively, by engaging or disengaging nodes and networks of the brain that therefore affect their cognitions, emotions, and ultimately their behaviors. Something my colleague Jamie Canton likes to play with an awful lot is the idea of specialized neural operations. And here, once again, we're talking about the use of either drugs and or devices to modify the integrity of brain function that we realize can also modify individuals' perception of time and space. We talked earlier about how these may be used in interrogation scenarios, and this too may be used against key individuals to be able to modify their perception of time, their perception of what occurred and what did not, memory modification, etc.
Nanoparticulates that can give an individual a stroke.
So what we're able to do here is infiltrate the brain space with nanoparticulate matter that aggregates in situ, on site in the brain, and does one of two things. Either penetrates from the vascular space, gets in through the bloodstream, gets in through the nose, through the mucosa, or infiltrates the vascular space and clogs it. What is the result? What's called a nanoparticulate stroke or a hemorrhagic diathesis, fancy word, for it's a predisposition to individuals having brain bleeds.
He explains how they can make people sick with an undetectable illness to make them go crazy.
What I'm doing is I'm using a dispersion methodology to be able to infect sentinel cases with a highly morbid condition. These individuals complain. Again, this is a central nervous system condition. So they're complaining of whatever the bug may do. It'll produce some cascade of neurological and neuropsychiatric signs and symptoms. What I've now done is I've got every individual who is diagnostically hypochondriacal, and I've got every individual who's the worried well flooding the public health system, banging on the door. The CDC comes back and says, nonsense, that's not real. I come back and say, that's fake news.
He says they can already control insects and use them to deliver bioweapons.
I infiltrate that bug's nervous system and I control the way it moves. By controlling the way it moves, I control the way it goes. I control its wings pattern. I control where it hovers, where it flies, where it articulates. And what I can also do is I can then couple this to a very, very small scale set of either biosensors or cameras. And what I basically have here is a bio drone. I can go one step further on. I can also impregnate that individual organism, with a very small-scale weaponizable delivery mode. In other words, if I'm using a very, very small-scale bioweapon, such as a very potent organotoxin, or the delivery of a very small level of microbes that we know can either replicate and infect, or is genetically modified to have a very, very high morbidity effect, I can then utilize this not only as a reconnaissance drone, but also as an infiltrative weaponizable drone that can then deliver some payload.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Already we are back, and I've got a follow-up article with that. But first, before I go there, you know, we always try to give local businesses, I always try to shop at mom-and-pop businesses, you know that.
Right.
I'll go there, you know, even I'd rather spend more money to help the local and try to buy the food, too, from local small grocery stores and whatever. But Newberry Printing, we get our newsletters done from Newberry Printing. A guy named Bill Dornbach does it. Now, not only does he do an excellent job in printing, and does he have really reasonable prices, but he's very, very pro-life. In fact, he actually used to come out with me on the streets years ago to help save babies out there preaching in front of those abortion mills. But he's located right next door. In fact, he shares the wall with the Communist Party headquarters there. The Communist Party headquarters is right next door on the other side of the wall. Bill is very pro-life. He's pretty, very God, pro-God, and the Communists can't stand him. Though they can't stand because of the fact that he's there. And so they're putting their signs in their windows to vote yes on issue one. And that's coming up. You know that what that is. That's to eliminate all parental rights, to take away all of our parental rights, and to totally eliminate all the pro-life legislation we passed. In other words, this is abortion for any reason. Any reason. Not only that, but if they get that passed, you don't even have to have a so-called physician's license to do your abortions. You can just open up your own business. These people are wicked and evil to the core. I mean, this is satanic. The people that are behind this issue one vote yes and are satanic. They're leaders. Everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls evil, they are behind. Human trafficking, you can bet. The drugs. And this is why we're trying to get the word out to you people out there. Don't be stupid before. A lot of them here... A lot of people should have known better, voted no when they should have voted yes on August 8th. Now, in November 7th, they have to vote no. Vote no. Vote against issue one is what you have to vote, folks. If you've got any decency, honor, or integrity at all, you'll vote no. And if you don't vote no, don't ever come around me because you wish you hadn't. And anyhow, so right in their window, they're going to put a big sign. Right next to it, he's going to put a big sign in his window, vote no on issue one, because Bill is a patriot. And so, folks, if you need printing done, whether it's newsletters, brochures, envelopes, business cards, invoices, labels, and whatever, he's the guy you would go to. Newberry Printing, and the address is 12424, 12424 Kinsman Road. That's Route 87. In Newberry, Ohio. Now, you can call him at, his phone number is 440-834-0728. 440-834-0728. I love to help patriots out, you know, Christian patriots out in small mom and pop organizations like that. Anyhow.
You know, Pastor, people got to realize that they've been indoctrinated to think that abortion is health care. Abortion is not health care. It's homicide. That's a living baby inside that womb. And when a woman says, that's my body, no, it's not your body, stupid. That's the baby's body that has its own soul. And when you kill that baby, you're going to have to stand and answer to God for that thing. And in Jeremiah 1:5, God told Jeremiah, I knew you while you were still in the womb. He was a person. He was called a you. And then King David in Psalm 139 told God, you knew me when my parts were still coming together in the womb. You know, his parts were still coming together, yet he was looked at as a person that had his own soul while he was still coming together in the womb. And so these abortionists, Planned Parenthood, they're satanic. They're killing babies that got their own souls, and the blood of those babies is crying up from the ground to God for vengeance against the cold-blooded murder that has been done to them. So don't be a part of that, and if you condone it, God's going to judge you as if you did it too.
So these women that go out, and I had one tell me she was a wicked little whore. She told me she had already had 6 abortions, and this was going to be her 7th, and she's doing it because she can. I mean, and this is typical. The Democratic Party now, their party, their unofficial official religion is Satanism. They're engrossed now in Satanism. They're engrossed in pedophilia. Okay, if God's word, the Bible, calls it a sin, abominable, the Democratic Party has embraced it and have it in their platform. It's evil, and nothing but pure evil out there today. And so, this is why we're going to fight. Like, we had the leadership meeting yesterday. I met with leaders from all different pro-life, pro-family organizations. And, you know, we're planning our battle strategy. Now, the dark side, the satanic dark side, those people out there, that they call them the deep state, they're pumping $50 million into the state of Ohio, $50 million to take away parental rights, to be able to have your 15-year-old daughter go in and kill your grandchild without you even knowing it, or have your 15-year-old daughter have her, you know, be mutilated, have her breast removed, or your 15-year-old son to be castrated without your knowledge at all. And then, of course, if something goes wrong, you get the bill, right? Okay, folks, this is evil. It's nothing but evil. It's nothing but pure evil. And so you need to pass the word. You need to tell as many people as you can and have them tell as many people as you can. We can't spend as much money as they have. We don't have that money. They've got all these filthy, filthy rich billionaires like George Soros. But we have the truth on our side. We failed God on August 8th, okay? We don't want to fail him on November 7th. So anyhow, I had told you, hell, you just heard, and we mentioned that he mentioned in that Ted Gunderson, who was a very good friend of mine. He was in charge of the FBI in California, Nevada, Arizona, Washington, Oregon, New Mexico. That was all his area. Colorado, that was all his area there. He was the head guy in charge of all that. He actually worked in the office there with Herbert Hoover. He actually worked in the office with him. But anyhow, he told me, when we were talking, he told me, he said, if I end up dead, he said, it's not going to be by natural causes. He told me that his biggest concern was rogue agents within the FBI himself. He said most of the guys are straight up, he said, but we've got rogue agents within the FBI, the CIA, who are on the take, are being paid by the deep state. And so here, 31 years after Ruby Ridge, the FBI is still killing Americans with impunity. Now, we know a lot about Ruby Ridge, huh? Because
that's right. That was some cold-blooded murder there, too.
Yeah, with Randy Weaver's family. And here, we were the one. This radio program was responsible. We kept them from burning out Randy's house because they were going to burn him out. Someone who was there at Ruby Ridge when they came after, they shot Sammy, his young son, First they shot his dog. They come up on these dirty people. Lon Hiroshima. He was also there at Waco shooting little children as they come out of the fleeing out of the burning building. Okay, he shot Vicky Weaver. As Vicky was standing in the doorway holding her baby in her arms, he shot her in the, right in the head. A cowardly, cowardly thing. This is, you know, this is a cowardly Democratic thing to do. But anyhow, here, somebody there was on the side of the mountain. They were watching. They called our radio program live. They were listening, and they called it, and they told us they were describing it, exactly what was happening, and that they had a helicopter, and they had a tank of airplane fuel. They were going to dump on the building and burn Randy out. These things, this is a part of, it's a sacrificial thing that's happening, these burnings, and it's a sacrifice to Satan. People don't understand it in the dark of the deep state here. They don't. They really, they're clueless. They don't know it. Same thing with Waco. Same thing here in Hawaii just recently. You know, they would have burned them up if they could have at January 6th. But anyhow, they called in to us live on the air, and they were describing what was happening. And Jack McLam and Bo Grice were down. Jack McLam was the highest decorated police officer in the country, and they were down, and Bo Grice was the highest decorated Green Beret. They were both very good friends of mine. I had spoken with them at different occasions, rallies. We spoke on the same platforms. And what happened, they were there negotiating with the FBI when somebody came down and told the head of the FBI, hey, there's some guy in Cleveland, and he's telling the whole country what we're doing here, piece by piece. When they did that, he said he told them to tell that helicopter to stand down, because he didn't want it going all across the whole country that they were burning Randy and his daughters and their hired hand who had taken shrapnel in the chest. Didn't want that to be broadcast over the whole country. So that's an amazing. So here you go. Here, now I've got this article. It's been 31 years since the beginning of the FBI's murderous siege on the house of the Weaver family. The deadly incident prompted enough outrage to spur congressional hearings, protests from across the political spectrum, several dramatized TV portrayals, and a promise from the FBI Department of Justice that they would revise the reckless tactics used at Ruby Ridge to avoid future tragedies. This was 6 months before the Waco massacre. Fast forward to 2023, and the only difference in relation to federal law enforcement behavior is the disappearance of journalists and politicals and politicians willing to demand accountability from the FBI. As Republicans and Democrats waste time and political capital focusing on how the FBI treats Donald Trump or Hunter Biden, four men in the last 3 weeks have been shot to death by the FBI, three of them in questionable pre-dawn raids. Two of the men were white and right-wing conservatives. One was an Arab, and the other was a black suspected for a string of robberies. In a typical FBI-related raid leading up to a shooting, federal agents make painstaking efforts to destroy any visible cameras on a targeted property, seldom wear body cameras, and they refused to inform family members why they felt they had to shoot their loved ones, what they were suspected of. In some cases, the FBI will even refuse to confirm their involvement in a killing. In these controversial shoots, the Bureau has the laughable ability to investigate itself, which predictably means that they rule every killing as justified. The FBI then cordons off the scene and bans the family from entering their own residence for days as staff is dispatched to collect evidence, providing them ample opportunity to tamper with or eliminate any evidence of malfeasance or error. Okay. I mean, the article is much, much longer, so I'm not going to. Well, let me just go a little bit more. In virtually every single case, an agent who shoots a suspect in a contentious encounter is granted the informal right to forever remain anonymous by both the media and the government officials, a perk not extended to local police officers in similar circumstances. If public outrage begins to grow, unrelated videos and information intended to characterize the person who was shot as a dangerous menace suddenly leaks to the press. Even the FBI publicly keeps its lips sealed. The way these incidents unfold is akin to how death squads or assassins operate rather than a legitimate law enforcement agency subject to civilian oversight. This is why I tell people you are not obligated in any way, shape, or form to give the FBI today any legitimacy. They have become totally corrupted. Now, I'm not saying that all the FBI field agents out there are corrupt. They're not. I know a number of them. Good people. They're like you and me. They have faith. They believe in God, believe in America and freedom, but they're not in charge. It's the people that's in charge. But those field agents out there, they have an obligation to God and country. They have an obligation to blow the whistle, to blow the whistle on the corruption in those above them, even if it costs them. And praise the good Lord, hell, you've had about four or five of them in the past couple of years have done just that. They've blown the whistle. They've got fired for doing it, but they've blown the whistles. And the FBI has gone after its own agents, trying to destroy them for doing that. But they've had the courage and the integrity. And so they can sleep at night and not feel ashamed when they look in the mirror, huh?
Yeah, that's true. It's a shame, but the FBI and the Justice Department, they're ruled by somebody above them, and I think it's the international United Nations and groups like that, One Worlders and stuff like that.
It is. The Biden, right now, the so-called Justice Department, Merrick Garland is as corrupt. Merrick Garland would be very, very, very hard-pressed to prosecute anyone who is more corrupt than himself. I mean, he has got a record of corruption on the highest very level, so he would be very hard-pressed. Pass that down to Chris Wray for the FBI. Now, what is it? Okay, why? What's going on here? How many billions of dollars do you think that's involved? Well, let me give you an example. I have here, now listen to this. This is the Clinton crime family. Now, I'm going to use them for an example. Here, Hal, 48 shell companies. 48 shell companies owned by the Clinton crime family. And here they go. Listen to this. Number of employees, 486 total. This is the Clinton crime family, what they call the Clinton Foundation. Total revenue, Hal, listen. $177 billion, Hal, not million, $177 billion, $804,612 total grants to charity, okay, right? Now, listen to this. Out of that, Hal, out of $177 billion, do you know how much that they raised for charity? That they raised, remember, what happened when you had that horrible hurricane that went to Haiti? Remember the people?
They got pretty mad. They got shafted.
Yeah. Guess how much the leaders there on Haiti come out and said only 3% of the money that they raised, billions of dollars, only 3% of it went to Haiti. Now here, out of $177,804,000, Hal, only $5,160,385, which is less than 3%, actually went to charity. Now, Hal, so you had all this other money. Now, you don't suppose, Hal, that large amounts of this money go to people that are in charge of, say, the Department of Justice or or the FBI or the IRS. Where do you find all of this? Well, we talked about that with Mike Gill. Mike Gill said he knows exactly where that money's going, and he named the FBI. He named the Department of the DOJ. the IRS, and a number of others that money went to. It's all in the Pandora Papers. It's all in the Pandora Papers. Now, who has access to the Pandora Papers? Who was provided with all of this information? Where all the bodies are buried? None other than Donald Trump. It was given to Trump. So Trump knows all of that. You don't suppose that's why Hillary said, if Trump wins, we're all going to hang. We're all going to hang if Trump wins the election. And Trump says,
yeah,
if he...
Sweating it out.
And Trump says if he's in, they are going to hang. He's going after the whole dirty deep state, okay? So...
You know, Pastor, I heard on the radio the other day that there was a guy walking down the street with his two kids and a five-year-old toddler, and some guy came up to him and shot him right in the face several times, right in front of his kids. And some deep state or Democrat prosecutor worked out a plea deal, and this guy, for murdering a man, a family man, a father in front of his own kids that he didn't even know, the guy only got 13 years in prison. But these guys that were ushered into the thing on January 6th to walk around a little bit and walk right back out, they were getting 16, 17, 18 years in prison. I'll figure that one out.
Well, just this week you had a Democrat was beating a 70-year-old woman with a cane. He beat her with a cane for over 2 minutes. It was filmed, you know, with the cameras at the subway. He beat this 70-year-old woman, beat her bloody with a cane. And the police came and didn't even arrest him. Didn't even arrest him. There you go. That's in New York because you have these they're not prosecutors. They're prostitutors. They're prostitutes.
Right.
These people are whores, okay? In New York City, who do you have? You have Bragg. These are whores. According to God's word, the Bible, people that sell themselves to evil like that are referred to in the Word of God as whores. So there you go. We're coming up to a break here. Now, on the other side of the break, I'm going to introduce another clip, and you're going to want to listen to this one, how it's going to be very interesting. And this other clip is it's something, Hal. I don't know if you were listening to me back in 2008, but everything that's in this clip, we reported on. We reported on every single thing that is in this clip back in 2008. I wish Pastor Joe was here because he was with me during that time, and so was McTernan. But every single thing that you're going to be hearing in this clip, we reported on. We were probably one of the very first, in fact, to do that. So we're coming up to a break, and when we come back, I'll introduce it very quickly, and then we're going to go into... Folks, you don't want to miss this clip. This clip is about... it's from the People's Voice. It's about Barack Obama. Barack Obama. And everything you're going to hear in here, folks, again, like I said, we reported on. We were the very first people to report that Barack Obama was a sodomite on the radio. We had it out there. We were, you know, very, very first to talk about so-called Reverend Wright, United Church of the Antichrist, United Church of the Antichrist, where he groomed young sodomites to get into political office and to get into areas of authority and power. So, hang tight. We're about 20 seconds away from going to the break. Probably right now about 10 seconds away from going to the break, okay? Yeah, we are, Tim. It's a countdown. 6, here you go, 5, 4, 3, 2, blast off!
Fight the fight!
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Speary Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.